All right. Good to see y'all tonight. I'm glad we can be together to study the Word of God together. Started this morning talking to you about one another in a New Testament church. And we're going to continue that study tonight. The first, I have three points that I was working through with you this morning, that we, three truths about one another in the church. We love one another. We are linked to one another. And then finally, we live for one another. And the first point we were looking at there is we love one another. We went through John 13, a couple of verses there, and then John 15. And as I've been studying this, I kind of thought that I've had a list of one another passages, a comprehensive list, together for a while. But I realized that I've actually missed quite a few of them. And when we think about this topic here of loving one another in the church, there is much more that the Bible has to say about that, and we're not going to cover everything, but I wanted to give you at least a couple of other passages to go along with this if you're taking notes and for future reference. We have one of them up there in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. I'm not going to spend much time there, but I do want to at least bring it to your attention. When Pastor Andy Weisner was here several weeks ago, he preach from this passage, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. So again, I'm not going to spend much time here, but I just wanted to point this verse out to you. And I do want to pray right quick before we get into this study. Lord, I come to you in Jesus' name, and you know how needful I am, Father, of you to supply strength for me tonight that I might serve this congregation and minister to them tonight. So I pray that you would strengthen me in mind, soul, spirit, and body, that, Lord, I might serve them well. And I pray that your word now tonight would just run swiftly and be glorified among us. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. So bless it, please, tonight. Bless us as we hear these things and begin to grow more in our one anothering here in this congregation. We thank you so much for what you're doing and what you've already done here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so 1 Peter 4, verse 8. This is in the light of, or with, in view of all things being at hand. The second thing that he says, gives instructions to the church to do in verse 8, is he says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. All right, so in verse 8 there, the one another part of this is have fervent love for one another. How are we to interact with one another? How are we to think of one another? How are we to engage with one another? We are to do so out of love for one another. And again, this is not a hypocritical love. It is a love, Romans 12, verse 9, a love that is without hypocrisy. We are to abhor that which is evil and to cling to that which is good as a church. Now, I want to ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, and in this subject of us loving one another, because this passage actually came to me this afternoon as I was thinking about this, and I thought, man, that's another one that I've left out, not thought of in regards to this of us loving one another. But in 1 Thessalonians 4, he says it very clearly here in verse 9. Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he says in verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 4, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And he says in verse 10, and indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, or in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, in that you increase more and more. And that really jumps out to me in this passage, that he tells them that God has taught them that they are to love one another. We have been taught by God that this is the way in which the church is to operate. We operate not out of a hypocritical love, not out of hatred for one another, but we operate out of love for each other. That is the thing that binds us together. as a church. It really does that. It binds us together, and I think Colossians even says something about that in verse 14 of chapter 3. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So that 1 Thessalonians 4. Now the last passage that I'd have you look at on love is 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 verse 23. Then we're going to move to the next point. 1 John 3 verse 23. How'd y'all think that song went at the end of the sermon today? I asked Andrew how he thought it went. He said it went okay. But the song at the end of the sermon, you know, brothers, let me... The Servant Song, I think, is the name of it. I didn't know because this ear, my left ear, was stopped up when I was trying to lead that singing. And it was like a ringing in that ear, and I just really couldn't tell what was going on. I was hoping it was going okay, but in my mind it was going pretty terrible. But I hope that it went okay. How'd y'all feel like it went? Was it okay? We weren't hitting the notes. Okay, it's totally my fault. I was just like that ear, man. I don't know what's going on there. Yeah, well, okay. I was trying to let Andrew lead from over there and kind of follow him. But all right, so 1 John 3:23, John writes, he says, "And this is the commandment, that you should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment." Now that harkens back to John chapter 13 and John chapter 15. Jesus has commanded, given us this new commandment. And I appreciated what someone said this morning. They said that it was a good sermon. And I said, "Well, what do you like about it?" And they said, "Well, I like the fact that it was pointed out that it was a commandment that we are to love one another. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. But it's a commandment that we love one another in the church." And here, John emphasizes that again. The love is so critical. If you go back up to verse 16 in that same chapter, we see that he says there, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us." And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You go down to verse 18, and he says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So love works itself out, as we're going to see in a moment, hopefully, in action. Okay, so a few verses there on that. Now let's go to our next point. We are linked to one another. We are linked to one another. And I want to quickly show you what I mean by this. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, Chapter 12, verse 5. Romans 12, verse 5. This is one of those passages in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul talks about spiritual gifts. There's three different places. If you can remember the chapter 12, then you can locate two of them in the Bible. You got Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. The other place where he lays that out more extensively is in Ephesians chapter 4. So you got Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, where the spiritual gifts that God, that the Holy Spirit has given to the church, are sort of listed. And they're not exhaustive in any of the locations. Here in Romans 12, though, he says this, and I'll start at verse 4. He says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." All right, so I listed this as we are linked to one another. And where that comes from is right here in this verse where it says we are individually members of one another. The image here is that of a body. All right, the hand and the foot, the head, all the different parts of the body make up the one body. And he's pointing out to the church here that we are all individual members, but we're all part of that one body. We're not separate from one another. So what happens to one happens to the other. Now, we can go also to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verse 25. All right, Ephesians 4:25. You probably remember the context from those excellent sermons that I've preached to this chapter already and everything about it. So I won't spend a lot of time on that, but in verse 25 he says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are," what does it say? "We are" what? "Members of one another." Against that same idea there, we are members of the body of Christ. And you can be assured that that's what he's talking about by verse 24, because it says there, "And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." That true man is the man, or the new man is the one who is made in Christ. We are a part of the body of Christ. So we're linked to one another. That's significant, folks, because here at this congregation, if there's a member who mourns, then we mourn with them. If there's a member who weeps, we weep with them. If they rejoice, we rejoice with them. We are not independent of one another. We're really not. According to what the Scripture says, spiritually speaking, we are members of one another in Christ. So what's going on in each other's lives should make a difference to us. What's going on, whether it be the joys or the sorrows of life, that should be something that we are seeking to share in as much as we can with one another. The Bible calls us to that. This isn't just an idea that I came up with or someone else came up with. This is what the Bible teaches. So when we are a part of this local body, New Life Baptist Church, he's talking to us. This is us. We're linked together. We're members of the same body. So we share in all of these things together. See, we have that communion in Christ, that commonality because of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I think that there's a passage in 1 Corinthians that's going to speak a little more to that. Y'all, are y'all understanding that, though? The church is real important. What God has done through the gospel to save us and to put us into this body is a tremendous thing. So let's understand it as much as we can. All right, let's go to our last point. Our last point here is we live for one another. We live for one another. All right, we got a lot of verses to work through here, and really every one of these could have a sermon preached on it itself independently. It really could. What I'd like to try to do here, though, is I'm going to pull out my trusty whiteboard, and we're going to work together on this, and let's see what love in action looks like. Let's see what being linked together looks like in the church as we are participating in the one another's of the New Testament. Now, I'm not trying not to get too technical on anything. That'll probably be out of my best interest as well. But some of the things that we're going to read, let's just really grab some of the low-hanging fruit that's real obvious in these passages as we work our way through them. So I see y'all trying to write all these references down. I'm going to pull my whiteboard up while you're doing that. And again, let's write up here, I guess we'd call these the verbs that are found in these passages, and they are the verbs that are found here to describe what one anothering looks like. So let's just start right here at the top. We're going to start at Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans 12, verse 10. I turned back there. So Romans 12, verse 10. He says there, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." Okay? "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." So as we one another learn about this topic from verse 10, what does that look like for us? What does this look like? What would you say? What do we do? Okay. Affection. What else? Right. Preference. There's two in there. Preference is deference. We defer to others. In other words, we don't have to have our way. We show preference to others. Okay, is that pretty clear? Romans 12, verse 10. All right, now let's move to Romans chapter 15. There's actually several of them here. There's more than what I have listed. And we'll look at those. I'll add them to this list. Are y'all getting hot in here? It feels a little hot in here, John. Would you check the units back there? I don't know what's going on. Romans 15, verse 1. I love this verse. But he says here, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves." And actually, it's not verse 1 that I was wanting to look at. Yeah, 14, but I've also got verse 5 and verse 7. Okay. So that verse 1 kind of sets the tone for us. He says in verse 2, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." It gives the example of Christ. Then we go down to verse 5. "Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus." Verse 7, "Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Now I'll go ahead and read verse 14. "Now, I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to," what does it say? "Admonish one another." So starting back from the top, what do we learn from Romans 15 about how we should be one anothering? All right, what about verse 5? What do we learn there? Be like-minded. And that was important for this church in Rome because they were made up of Gentiles and of Jews. And because of the circumstances that they found themselves in, where Jews who had been expelled from Rome have now come back, they were having a hard time sinking together again as the church. So Paul is writing to them to give them instructions. And he wants them to be like-minded. And then what's the next thing in verse 7? What are they to do to one another? What does it say? Receive one another? Okay. They are to receive one another. To accept, to bring in, to receive one another. Okay? Is that pretty clear? Now, if you look at Romans 15, verse 14, what is it that is found there that they are to do for one another? Admonish one another. Now, has anybody here ever heard of nouthetic counseling? Anybody ever heard of nouthetic counseling? Yep, a few people. So that's a word that is a transliterated Greek word, but it basically is just known as biblical counseling now. But the word for admonish here is the word that nouthetic comes from, and it is a word that means to put in mind. So in other words, we take Scripture and we put it in the mind of those that we are counseling. And he here is talking to this church and saying to them that they are full of goodness. That means they're full of virtue. They are filled with all knowledge. That means they have good doctrine. And because of that, they are able to counsel one another. They are able to admonish one another. All right? So in verse 14, we'll put here that they are to admonish one another. Okay? Y'all kind of see what we're doing here? How the one anothering, what it looks like? It looks like having affection and preference for one another. It looks like being like-minded, receiving one another, and then admonishing one another. You see, this one anothering thing and the loving one another doesn't mean we do not ever confront one another. It doesn't mean that we never take the Word of God and try to help others along, maybe even in places where they are sinning. It means that we do that. Out of love, we are forced to do that for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, let's go to our next one, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 22. All right, so you guys know the context of this. We read this almost every first Sunday. This is one of the main passages that we turn to before we take the Lord's Supper. And the apostle is writing to them because there was a lot of goofiness going on when it came to the taking of the Lord's Supper. And he gives them instruction here. And I think verse 22 is the one that I wanted to. Now, that's wrong. It's actually supposed to be verse 33. It's actually supposed to be verse 33. I don't know how I got 22 up there. But 1 Corinthians 11, 33. Okay? Y'all got it? So here's what it says. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. All right. Wait for one another. So that was pretty obvious. 1 Corinthians 11:33. What are they to do? Wait. And the word means to expect one another. They were not waiting. Some were getting drunk even and being full while others were going hungry. They were not showing preference to one another at all. They were only focused on themselves. And that's the thing that when you're getting ready to take the Lord's Supper that you should see if you're taking it in an unworthy manner. Because if the body of Christ means nothing to you and you're only looking out for yourself, then you're taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner because we are one body and one bread in Christ. So he tells them to wait, to expect one another. All right, let's go to the next one. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. Here in 1 Corinthians 12, that's that other passage that I was talking about where the spiritual gifts, this is a fairly detailed list that Paul gives to the church here. In verse 25 of 1 Corinthians, he says to them that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. All right, so if we were to list here, what is the action that we take toward one another from verse 25, what would it be? The same care, right. Same care. Okay, I looked this word up and I found it to be kind of fascinating because the word for care here is a word that means to be over anxious about. It means to be distracted by something. Okay? Have you ever had a part of your body that wasn't working right or it was hurting or something like that? Can you make it through the day without just not even thinking about that? No. Most of the time you can't. Like somebody this morning mentioned a prayer request that they've been having some real problems with their eyes. I mean, they could not think about it. And sometimes when our bodies are giving us problems, we can be kind of anxious about it, can't we? We want to get to the doctor maybe and see what's going on. Get this thing checked out. And the word that's used here for caring for one another is in the context of the body of Christ. As we are members of one another, we are caring about one another. We are anxious about how one another is doing. We're not okay with not knowing. We're not okay with just letting something go and not helping the other person. So it's this idea of really being concerned about each other and making efforts to show that, because he goes on there in verse 26. This is that passage I was trying to kind of quote earlier. He says, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Why? Verse 27. "Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually." All right, so he's laying it out here. This is real important for us as a church even today. Let's go to the next passage, Galatians chapter 6. Anybody got any questions so far? Any questions on this? Other observations you'd like to point out? Galatians 6. Andrew? Concern, the word for care there. All right. Concern for one another. Good. Okay, now we go to Galatians chapter 6. Anybody else have anything else you needed to contribute there? Help that'd be helpful to our understanding of the passages? All right. Galatians 6. We'll start there at verse 1. He says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass..." Did we write care up here? Yeah, we did. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, "you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of haughtiness," like we've got it all together. Is that what it says? No. "In a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Then he says in verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The word for bear here is a word that means to lift. So, we are to bear one another's burdens. We help lift one another's burdens. In this context, it apparently is a brother or sister who has fallen into some sin. And we come along beside them in order to help lift them out of that. He goes on in verse 3 and says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." I feel like Paul just said that y'all are all nothing. Everybody's nothing. Paul said he's less than the least of all the saints. He says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Verse 4, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Now this is interesting in verse 5. "For each one shall bear his own load." Now he just told us that we're to bear one another's burdens, and now he says each one should bear his own load. The difference there is the word for load. It's the idea of we're bearing the ministry that God has given to us to bear. In the other instance, we are to bear the burden of one who is caught in a sin. So the load that we carry is actually their burden that we come along beside them to help them out of. All right, let's go. I need to write that up here. Galatians 6. So what do we do there? So I'm going to write bear burdens. Bear burdens. Okay. Let's keep going. Y'all ready? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Anybody have anything you need to contribute right now? All right. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Now, we'll start at verse 1. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." Different word here for bear or bearing. This word is a word that means to endure. We endure with one another in love. Now, if you'll turn over to Colossians, we'll go ahead and hit this one while we're here as well. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. We're getting close to being done. Y'all hang in there. Colossians 3, verse 13. And we'll start at verse 12. He says, writing to the church in Colossae, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Again, it's that word that means to endure, to persist. So, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Man, that's one of those forgiveness verses that maybe we just seem not have in the Bible. But it's there. So looking at these two passages, Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, what do we learn about how do we want each other? What is the action there that takes place? That's hard to say. How do we want another each other? So we got Ephesians 4. What do we do there? Okay, let's put the exact Bible word. Is that what yours says? Tolerance. All right. Okay, so I'm going to go to Colossians now, 3:13. What does one anothering look like in Colossians 3:13? Same word, right? We saw that tolerance, but what else is there? Right. And man, that's important. Because when you get a bunch of people like us together, we're going to offend each other. You know? We're going to offend each other. I offend myself sometimes. All right? So we're going to offend each other. And there has to be forgiveness in a group of people that's coming together to serve together. Because sometimes we're really in stressful situations. You may be tired and irritable or whatever's going on. If we can't forgive one another, man, we might as well just close the doors. But forgiveness is part of who we are as a church because we've been forgiven by Christ. And we are to forgive one another just as He has forgiven us. Okay, does that make sense? Anybody got anything you want to add there? All right, let's go to the next one. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. This is a great one. So real simply, in this short verse, he says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. What's somebody else's translation? Does anybody have a different translation that maybe changes that?
Encourage.
Encourage. So the word exhort or comfort is the word encourage. Therefore, comfort each other. Is that what it says to start with? Anybody else got anything different for either that word or the word edify?
Build one another up.
That's what edify means. An edifice is a building. So if you edify something, you have built it up. All right. So that's what we want to do is edify one another. Okay. So if we're going to write up here, what is love in action? What does one anothering look like in the church? What should we put here? 1 Thessalonians 5:11. What words should we include here? So we encourage and build up. Build up. Edify. I know, y'all have probably been real critical of all my writing up here. Yeah, Paul said somewhere else to the Corinthians, he said, brethren, we do all things for your edification. Well, here we are. We're almost at the end. Got 5 minutes left. Let's hit these. In Hebrews 3:13. Now, if y'all know of some other one another passages that I haven't mentioned in this study, please let me know about them. I will not be offended because I would like to have an exhaustive list. Hebrews 3, verse 13. We'll start at verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. How do we one another each other according to Hebrews 3:13? Exhort. Y'all have encouraged in that in your translations for that one? Okay. So same idea there of encouraging. Exhort daily. Yep. So Jackie said that daily ought to be added to that. So we exhort one another daily. You see how we're helping one another along this pilgrim path that we are on? We are sojourners in a foreign land, and we are not ultimately home yet. Our home is with the Lord Jesus Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. And we are exhorting one another along that path. Let's go to the next one, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Go ahead.
Well, that last one, you know, exhort is to draw out of and encourage is to put into. So even though those are, seem to be synonymous, they in some ways they really have a very different aspect of both of them being positive toward one another.
Okay, great. Thank you. I got nothing to add to that, Brother Dave. That was good. Thank you. All right, let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Here's what he says. He says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The word for consider here is a word that means to observe fully. To observe fully. It shows that we are paying attention to one another. So as we look at verse 24, "And let us consider one another." Let us observe fully one another. For what end? For what purpose? He tells us, in order to stir up love and good works. So from Hebrews 10:24, what do? We consider one another, right? And then was there anything else in that passage? Again, we see the word exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. And listen, if you're a Christian, it doesn't matter if you're a young person or an old person. The Bible is talking to all of us. The youth group needs to be encouraging one another. Not in the ways of the world, but in the ways of God. These truths apply to all of us who are part of the church, who believe this gospel, and are seeking to live by it. And then the last one is here in 1 Peter 4:10, where Brother Andy again preached on this, so I won't take long. It's actually verse 9 and 10. We see two more things here. There's another one that I've missed. Verse 9 and 10, he writes saying, "Be hospitable to one another." That word, hospitable, means to be fond of guests. So So be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what are the two things that we see in this passage that one anothering, that describes our one anothering? What do we do? All right, so we are hospitable, and then what else? We minister, and what do we minister? We minister our gifts to who? One another. Because our spiritual gifts are not given for our profit, but they're given for the profit of all. 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, that's all I've got for y'all tonight. That's all only possible because of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because He died for sinners. And we're all in that boat. We're all in need of a Savior. And maybe tonight you've realized that, you know what, I don't have any of this. I'm not able to love like I should. I'm not able to serve like I should. I'm just not capable of it. And the reason you're not able to do that is because you don't know the Lord. And the invitation to receive Christ as your Savior, to believe on Him, is always open. And we invite you to simply embrace by faith that Jesus Christ has done what the Bible says. The Bible says this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. Do you believe that? The Bible calls us to repentance and to follow the Lord in believers' baptism as a public profession, identifying ourselves with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did anybody else have anything you needed to contribute to this study before we're dismissed? We'll pray and be done. Anybody? Jacob?
I just want to say, you know, we are really blessed here at New Life. These characteristics are true in our church. Like, everything Mallard and I have gone through and going through, I don't know how you get through a lot of it without God using, you know, everyone here to come alongside us. So.
Good.
It's easy to kind of, not that we probably do this or even here do it, but, you know, this is a really, really good church. And God's doing amazing things through everyone here. And it's, you know, not just for us, but through so many other people. It's, you know,
yep.
We should all be aware of that and thankful that we have such a good local church.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to beat everybody over the head with this at all. I want it to affirm us maybe in what we're doing, and also to stir us up and to spur us on to continue to do it, and maybe to for some of us to pick up in some areas and be one anothering each other. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Right.
Because people are wanting to stay. Oftentimes, at the churches I went to before, I just had felt, and usually be at times, if hey, and you were dismissed, I'd be out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, not quite. Close to it.
Yeah. Now, having said that, I'm pretty tired tonight, okay, folks? So if y'all want to cut out, Lord. All right, anybody else? So why don't we appreciate the folks joining us online. Why don't we go ahead and turn the live stream off and